you okay?
No, the little bitch shot me.
Language.
They're only plastic BBs. It was an accident.
What did I tell you would happen if you got him a gun? Deal with this.
Buddy, uncool.
That's it? No. The agreement was that if he shoots someone, you shoot him.
We were serious about that?
Yes, we were, and now you have to follow through.
I'm so sorry.
Liar.
Go.
He's got a birthday party.
What's more important here, Dad?
You can shoot him afterwards. He'll be home at 2.
I can't shoot him at 2. I'm showing a house at 2.
What about 3?
No, he's got a soccer game at 3, and then we gotta leave for that dinner thing at 5. 4:15, you could shoot him at 4:15.
Yeah, I guess that works for me.
Shoot Luke.
Sorry, dude, it's on the calendar.
Oh, come on.
Hey everybody, episode 24, and I am joined once again by Brian Lipsitz, who is dominating this show as of late, so much to the point that you might just be Captain Reliable.
Sounds good to me.
I'm gonna have to create like a whole theme song and stuff for you. When no other co-hosts will return to the show, here comes Captain Reliable. But no, it's you're a fantastic co-host too, so that's the other reason.
Thank you.
But we have a ton of stuff to cover today, and I fear that we're going to hit the 2-hour mark. We're going to try our best to not do that, because that's a lot of editing and post-production that I don't want to go through. But the weather, again, is driving me crazy, because I came home and had to shuffle. I don't shuffle snow. That would be a different sport entirely.
Maybe
what?
I said, maybe you can do that. That's fantastic.
It would be a lot more fun than shoveling, I'll tell you that much.
It actually would. Yeah, true.
But I came home and had to shovel for like an hour and a half yesterday. My parents weren't home yet, and I could barely even get my car into the driveway. And I'm afraid right now that while we're recording, it's raining out at the moment.
Yep.
We had a couple power outages real quick, just glitches the other day. But if that happened during an episode, that would be
terrible.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope. I'll cross our fingers.
Yeah. So we're hoping for the best here. But we are supposed to get some more snow, I guess, Friday.
Yeah.
And that would be an immense pain in the butt.
It's so annoying. It's that I'll just jump. That was one of my freakouts. But yeah, the weather is pissing me off.
Yeah. Well, before we get into our geekouts and freakouts real quick, I have a couple things that are going on with the show, one of which is I'm actually thinking about doing a bit of a scheduling change with it. Right now, we are recording generally on Wednesdays. We've been fairly consistent with that. I normally do my editing between Wednesday and Thursday and try to get the show up by Thursday night, so people can listen by Friday morning at work at the latest. But it's getting tougher and tougher to book people during the week, and I'm getting a lot busier during the week, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. And yeah. I think people, especially when I start having co-hosts in studio and we don't have to Skype anymore, I think people are going to be more accessible on the weekends. So
true.
I just wanted to ask the audience if they have an opinion either way. Do you like the schedule the way it's been going now? Or is it cool if we make a change and tape over the weekend and get the show to you on Monday? So instead of finishing off the week with us, you'll start off the week with us. And sure, there's a lot of it might make the news come at you a little slower, because I don't know why. I don't know what it is about Wednesdays where all the big news hits, and then we have to throw it into the news block at the
last
exactly.
second.
But that would actually be a nice thing with having the weekend, is I would have more prep time to not have to rush something into the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a thought. We'll see how it goes. The other thing is something I posted today. I had meant to post it a while ago, and I just got around to writing the article. I recently became aware of this. I'm not sure how many people are. I was seeing all these things online about this girl, Taylor Momsen, and how she's like this 17-year-old goth rock chick and is doing all these inappropriate things at concerts and stuff like that. And I was a little freaked out to find out that this is the same girl who played Cindy Lou Who in the live action The Grinch movie from 2000. And now she's the lead singer of a band called The Pretty Reckless, which I've only heard one song by that was on the Kick-Ass soundtrack, and I actually kind of liked it. And she's also been in Gossip Girl, which she wouldn't be on my radar in that way because I've never seen that show in my life. But wow, what the hell?
I honestly have seen things about her, like you said, but I had no idea who she was. And then when you post that, I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. And yeah, it's kind of freaky.
Apparently, it is the whole child actor syndrome where you just have to go crazy as you get older. But she's only 17, and she's, I guess, like flashing at concerts and stuff with like tape on and I don't know. Cindy Lou Who, what happened to you?
Hey, that rhymed. That's
I know. That was my improv right there.
Yeah, very nice.
But that just totally caught me off guard. But if people want to check that out on the site, and there's the music video too. I actually like the song. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it at all.
I haven't checked it out yet, but I will listen to it.
Some people might think it's a little bit contrived as far as like metal and rock goes, but I don't know. Yeah. I dug it. So we can actually get cranking on all this stuff. We do have our geek outs and freak outs and the news and all that stuff to do. And in the last segment of this show, Brian and I are going to run down the nominees and who won the Golden Globes that were on recently. And we'll basically give our picks for who we think should have won, because I think there were a lot of bad choices this year.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems always on any award show I watch, there's always just ridiculous choices. And I don't know. That's why I watch them, but in the back of my head, I'm like, why do I watch these? Because I always get the same result. But
right, and who's really credible enough to pick these people to begin with?
Exactly. So,
geek outs and freak outs this week. What are you geeking out over, Brian?
Yay!
Not too much. I've pretty much been enveloped in DC Online, DC Universe Online, which I ended up purchasing last Tuesday, and I got the collector's edition, which comes with a sweet ass Jim Lee statue of Batman.
Nice.
And I've been playing the game, and like I've said the last time I was on, I'm not a big person to play MMORPGs, and this was sort of my first taste of it, and I can see how people get addicted. Maybe it's just because I'm playing in the DC universe, but it's pretty crazy, and I created my own superhero, and actually created three different superheroes, and you get to fight side by side with your favorite heroes and villains, and it's got, of course, great voice acting by Mark Hamill as Joker and Kevin Conroy as Batman, and it's just it's pretty awesome, and I'm trying not to get too enveloped in it, but I'm pretty geeking out over that. So.
Yeah, those things are huge time sinks. I think I've said it before. And I don't think it's just because you're playing in the DCU universe, but I played City of Heroes for a week as a free trial, and I was so happy when that free trial ended because I got my life back.
It's true. It's just like, it comes with a free 30-day, and I only did the 1 month after that, $15, because I'm like, that's ridiculous. So I'm pretty much thinking I'm going to be done with it. Like, I'm like, I can't foresee myself playing this more than like a month or two. I mean, it's just so over enveloping in your life that like there's too much to do, and it's like a couple times it's like I gotta drag myself away from this.
Yeah, and those MMOs are really a genius thing when you think about it, because we don't have the popularity of arcades these days where people go in and dump quarter after quarter, and I think those are kind of the substitute for it, where everybody gets in a community together, you're dumping money every month into this game that you're all playing, and not only that, but they also make additional money on DLC and other things that they're offering. So it really is like the modern day version of the arcade, which is
although being in the arcade as a kid would be cool if someone like ran up to like three people ran up to you and, do you want to join my league and help us go take down Bizarro? Because that would have been kind of
That would be awesome. Or someone runs up and just slaps a quarter on the machine and starts eyeing you because you're dominating Street Fighter, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I got this kid."
Yeah. So, but no. Yeah. That's my geek out. I don't really have any other geek outs this week. It's kind of a spark. Oh, actually, I do. What am I talking about? The geek out that just happened like an hour or two ago, which I'm sure we'll talk about more in detail. But of course, the casting news from The Dark Knight Rises, which is the third installment of the Batman franchise by Christopher Nolan. Anne Hathaway cast as Selina Kyle, and what's his name?
Tom Hardy.
Thank you. As Bane.
Yep.
Super geek out. Super freak out.
Yeah, I'm geeking out over that as well. And like you said, we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah.
Length during the news block. But yeah, that had to be mentioned.
Yes. So those are my geek outs.
Breaking news. My geek out this week is actually more of a geek moment. It's not something I'm obsessing over right now. I just had a miniature geek out. And you being a Whedonite, I think will appreciate this. I was watching... Well, I started watching Legend of the Seeker.
Mm-hmm.
The first season a while ago, and then when I heard that it got canceled after season two, or was going to get canceled, I started to fizzle a little bit because it does kill a little of your motivation if you know a show's like over. So especially after two seasons, but I finished up season one and I started watching season two again, and I geeked out when I saw Charisma Carpenter in the first episode of season two.
Oh, yes.
Not only because she's awesome, but, we recently met her at Wizard World Boston and everything. And of course, she did the bumper for this show, which I'll have to use in this episode now.
Definitely.
But I was just geeking out to see her, but unfortunately it is the only the first episode. I was hoping she would be a regular.
Yeah.
But, not only that, but I was watching. As I'm watching more and more, I am just still thinking about how great Bridget Regan would be as Wonder Woman. Because,
oh, fantastic. Yeah.
And all this talk about the Wonder Woman TV series, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in the news and everything. Mm. And I think we are. I wrote that down, right?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay, cool. Just making sure that I'm covering my own bases here. Yeah, but she would be amazing as even a TV Wonder Woman, even if they weren't going to go the movie route for years. Yeah. She's clearly shown her ability on a TV show, even if it didn't last that long. But she has all the tools necessary.
The problem with the TV show, just to go on a tangent for two seconds, is the problem with it is it was aired so horribly. Like, I think it was on at 1 a.m. over here. Like, it was syndicated, so depending on where the people wanted to put it, back in the day, I would have seen it as like a Saturday afternoon Hercules Xena time slot, but no, they put it at like 1 a.m. on a Saturday night or Sunday night, and of course no one watched it, and I was even shocked it got a second season, which, I mean, I have read the novels that it's based on, and mm-hmm. that's a whole other discussion because it's vastly different from the novels, but it just got really shitty ratings because they put on a ridiculous time. So I mean, it was pretty much already handicapped when it started to not succeed, which kind of sucked.
Yeah, I remember it coming on at like 1 o'clock in the morning or something. Like, I was going to bed on a Saturday or Sunday night, and it was on super late, and I wanted to watch it, but I'm like, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah. So that did not help, obviously. So
yeah, which is too bad. It's like you said, if that came out during the Hercules Xena popularity years, it would have fit right in that block and probably would have gone for years.
That's what I was. Yeah, it's like, because it's the same. It was actually filmed in the same location as the same producers, and it's just like it's weird how the timing is just was off.
Yeah, it's too bad. I enjoyed it, but I still have the rest of season two to finish, which is nice.
There you go.
Yeah, that's my only geek out. So freak outs this week.
Oh, freak out! Snow. I hate it. Winter weather, everything about it. Everyone was like, "Oh, it's gonna be a weak winter," because you know we had that like in December, was it early December? We had like 50 degree weather or something, and then now it's just like storm after storm after storm. And Friday now, and I'm watching the freezing rain coming down from my window, and it's driving me insane. And yesterday shoveling, I know it's a dead issue because everyone bitches about it, but it's freaking annoying. I'm done with it. And it's just like, oh, I can't wait for it to snow again. And yeah, it's not fun. So that's my whining freak out the week.
Yeah, that was actually my first freak out too. Is just it's insane. We had like I complained about the 5 hours of shoveling I did last week, and then I had to do another like hour and a half the other day. And if we get a ton on Friday, that's another. Yeah, plus, I don't want that on my birthday, and then I have the party planned for Saturday, and everyone's gonna wuss out because there's like 2 more inches of snow on the.
Yeah, that's road. The thing. It's like we're lucky to have birthdays at this time. Not it's like oh, the snow. You can never guarantee it might be a snowstorm.
Right.
So miserable. Annoying. Yeah, it's just terrible. We sound like two old men who are terrible.
Well, I am turning 30 soon, so, you know, I'm an old man. Yeah.
Not that old, but okay.
Any other freakouts this week?
No, I think that was pretty much it. I was just so... And the weather's been pretty much dominating this week that I haven't really had a chance to think of any other freakouts.
Yeah, I do have one other one, but it's very short. I had mentioned a couple weeks ago that I ordered the PlayStation Move and came with the free iPad and all that stuff. And I have Sports Champions. I'm still loving it. I finally got a second Move controller, and it's really cool to use the archery, like have one controller as the bow and one as the arrow. And when I'm doing the gladiator battles, have one as the sword and one as the shield. So that's really cool.
It's very cool.
All that has shipped. I even ordered the controller, the second controller, and that's come in from Sony. And yet iPad is still back-ordered, but I see it on the store of every shelf, like the shelf store of every shelf, the shelf of every store I go to. Yeah. And how is it back-ordered at Sony when it's out everywhere, unless Sony just said, push them all out the door and send them to every store? I want my iPad. Like, I want it.
Yeah.
I don't
know. That's annoying.
It just bothers me. I would totally cancel my order and just go buy one if it wasn't coming to me for free.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Miserable. More misery. That's what the show is. It's just me whining and complaining. Weather sucks. That's what it is. Yeah. The lovely Geek Outs and Freak Outs. Normally, we would play some top three right now, but I wanted to take a break from top three this week. And it's actually probably a good week to do it because we do have so much to do.
Yeah.
I feel like top three was a really fun, special thing to do in the beginning. And I still like playing it, but I feel like it's losing a little bit of its specialness if I do it every week.
True.
So I would actually like to develop some other games and work them in a little bit more so we can have a little more of a rotation. But top three is wearing on me, and I'm going to give it a break this week. Who knows what'll happen next week? Whatever I feel like, I guess. But if people still have top three categories they want us to play, they can send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. Or if you have any game suggestions or ideas, I would love to hear those too. Hopefully our games will evolve a little bit more once we can start taking live calls and all that stuff, but I don't know how far off that is. There's a mixer I found that I want. I don't know how much it costs, and there's no street date for it yet. But it does everything I want it to do, and I'm afraid it's going to be like $4,000. I'm afraid it's going to be up in like the $300 range, and I don't think I'm willing to pay that right now.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Aside from that, as I'd mentioned before, this is my last shameless plug that I am turning 30 on Friday. And there is a link on the Geek Generation site that says Rob's 30th birthday, where it goes to my Amazon wish list, and if anyone out there is feeling generous enough to buy me something off of it as a 30th birthday present, feel free, and I would appreciate it. And I might even mention you on the show, although I think they come in anonymously, so I don't think I would know who they are for, but I can still thank people for them.
It anyways. You only turned 30 once.
Right. That's right. Oh, although... I might hit some sort of weird time warp, or if I ever do get my dream of owning a DeLorean, then who knows? Maybe I'll turn 30.
But until then.
Until then, unless there's a DeLorean on my Amazon wish list, which there isn't, which would be awesome. An actual full-size time-traveling DeLorean. That stuff's a lot cheaper. So,
I was just going to say, that might be a little too out of the price range.
It might be, I'm thinking. Let's take care of the listener emails now.
Okay.
I think that's a solid idea. Let's see. We don't have a ton of responses this week. And again, I guess that's okay. Cause
it was a tough question. I mean, I was going to send something in and I couldn't really think. There's too many like different choices. I mean, I could have obviously written it up, but I mean, I was like, there was too many choices in my head and I was swirling around and I was like, I can't figure this out.
It is hard. I mean, who's yeah. the greatest cast member in SNL history? Or Saturday Night Live, those that don't yeah. want to use the abbreviation for it. If you don't know the abbreviation, you don't know what I'm talking about anyway. I was shocked to see G1 reply on Facebook and say that he's never actually watched SNL before.
That is amazing. Like I can't fathom anyone never seeing any episode ever, because I mean it's one of those staples of like television history that's always been on. I don't since the mid-70s, but you know what I mean. It's been on for a long time, and you always catch, usually, you know, in pop culture somewhere you've seen a clip or a show or.
Oh yeah, it's hard to avoid, and I remember when I was in elementary school and I would sleep over a friend's house, and it was like a cool thing to stay up late and watch Saturday yeah. Night Live before going to bed. And I remember watching the whole like Sinead O'Connor and ripping the Pope's picture and all that stuff. And I just can't imagine having never seen it. But hey, I mean, some people just have the different interests, and mm-hmm. that's not something they're digging. So we do have a few responses. Do you want to give an answer before I go into them, or
I don't even know if I have an answer.
I know,
like,
right?
I think it really depends on what generation you grew up on. Like, it depends how old you are, almost, I think, because I mean, certain people are going to have different opinions. Like, I mean, obviously the younger generation from nowadays has grown up with the current cast or the later cast,
right,
then
right.
So I mean, like, but me, like, I remember Wayne's World and, like, you know, stuff like that. So I mean, I honestly don't really even have an answer. I can't like condense it down to, and it's almost like it depends on who worked well with other, like, it's not just it's hard to even pick a solo cast member, because usually sometimes it was almost the ensemble of the cast that worked
sure,
the best.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm sorry, that was a complicated answer, but
well, yeah, and we kind of grew up on the like Adam Sandler, David
yeah.
Spade, Chris Farley, Mike Myers, all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, and then all the spinoff movies, and you know, it was a lot different than, you know, I think, I mean, I hate to say it, but nowadays it's not really, you can't really compare. So
right, I mean, they have a couple of good people right now, yeah. like Kristen Wiig is amazing.
I agree,
and basically runs that show. And actually, is it Kenan
Thompson?
Kenan yep. Thompson is amazing as well. They do have some good cast members.
It's just the writing, I think, right now is just...
Yeah, and when you compare some of those guys, though, too, to even the days that we... Like, think about the people that were on the show that we watched. Like we said, the names, David Spade, Chris Farley, Adam
Dana
Sandler,
Carvey,
Dana Carvey, Mike Myers. Like, those guys, any one of them would dominate the entire SNL cast right now.
Yeah.
So it is a hard decision to make. So let's take a look at what the responses were. The first one didn't give a name, but I'll just call him ROR Drummer, because that was something related to the email. They say, without a doubt, it was Chris Farley. He was an inspiration to fat people like me across the world, proving that being fat and falling down will always be funny. Chris Farley was phenomenal.
He was, especially the motivational speaker sketches he did. I loved those. Those hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I still remember whenever someone talks about Chris Farley in SNL, my mind always flashes right to the one where him, David Spade, and Adam Sandler are dressed up as girls in the mall.
Oh,
and
the food
he's
court,
eating the
yeah.
fries, and he's like, oh, God, I don't even remember the line to
I know. I think everyone remembers that, though.
Yeah. I'm starving. Lay off me, I'm starving. It's so funny. And then he goes right back to like a giggly voice, and they're so
yeah.
poorly dressed as women. It's so yeah. great. And yeah, like you said, Matt Foley, the motivational speaker, just amazing. Because I live in a van down by the river. That's a horrible impression. I'm sorry.
That's
I'm not
okay.
going to do that again.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're gonna end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
I was just gonna say, of course, also the Chippendales dance scene with Patrick Swayze.
That, oh, that's classic.
Him. Yeah. So.
Classic Farley, yeah. Amazing. The second one comes in from Anna, who says, Dan Aykroyd gets my vote. I don't think I need to go into much detail why. He's never done anything that hasn't made me laugh. And no, I haven't seen Yogi Bear and don't plan to. Why ruin a good run? Dan Aykroyd, again, was amazing. One of his best characters being the, I can't remember his name, but the guy, the salesman.
Yes, with the Bass-O-Matic and
My God.
Yeah.
Bag of glass. Yeah. And, the Human Torch.
Human Torch costume kit.
Oh, the Invisible Pedestrian. It's just amazing stuff.
That is a good choice.
Yeah.
So you don't feel that this product is dangerous?
No, come on, look. We put a label on every bag. It says, kid, be careful, broken glass. I mean, we sell a lot of products in the bag-o line. A bag of glass, a bag of nails, bag of bugs, bag of vipers, bag of sulfuric acid.
And the last response is very short. Came in over Twitter from Joe Palumbo, who just says, Eddie Murphy.
That's another. I mean, between him and Bill Murray, there's so many, like, I don't know, there's just too many that time period where, like, it was, like, such a star-studded lineup. I mean, not at the time did you know they were going to be stars, but, yeah, it's so hard to choose.
Yeah, I, like you, was torn, and just on my gut instinct, I decided to say Phil Hartman.
That's a good choice, actually. I didn't think of that.
Because he's someone that really shined when he was on SNL, and yeah, he did some great things afterwards, but SNL was his playground, and he was just amazing on it. Frankenstein and Bill Clinton, and the guy was awesome.
Caveman lawyer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just talking on my mysterious device where I hear people on the other end. How do they get in there? So good.
Sometimes when I get a message on my fax machine, I wonder, did little demons get inside and type it? I don't know.
I'm surprised no one said Will Ferrell. Not that I would want that to be the answer, but I was so expecting someone to say Will Ferrell just because of his, you know, take off afterwards of into movies and stuff where, you know, he kind of became a somewhat of a big name. So,
but like a lot of SNL cast members that leave and go to the movies, he kind of peaked and has been somewhat
on
a downward sizzle. And there were very few that really went up there and stayed up there, like Sandler and like even Eddie Murphy's quality of movies are not that great anymore.
Yeah,
Mike Myers, I guess you can say, is still kind of in that high
he's
echelon.
On the cusp, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's not a ton that go out and do that, but Will Ferrell is, I guess, in the shine and slowly drift down.
Drifting down, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Should we take a break now? We can do news now. We'll go into the Golden Globe stuff afterwards. Wow, it's only like 25 minutes in and we're already hopping into news. I was thinking like 2-hour episode, but
maybe not.
Maybe not. That's okay with me. That's fine. All right, let's go into news. Top story is the breaking one that we mentioned during the Geek Outs. The Dark Knight Rises reveals Anne Hathaway and Tom Hardy's roles. Warner Brothers announced today via press release that Anne Hathaway has been cast in the role of Selina Kyle in The Dark Knight Rises. Those familiar with the Bat Universe know that Selina Kyle is the alter ego of Catwoman, although the press release makes no confirmation of the femme feline. Christopher Nolan stated, quote, "I am thrilled to have the opportunity to work with Anne Hathaway, who will be a fantastic addition to our ensemble as we complete our story." I'll stop there for now and ask your opinion on this.
I think it's phenomenal. Anne Hathaway is a great actress.
I agree. And probably the hottest female cast member in the Dark or the current Batman series so far.
Yes, I was about to say that as well. I mean, I can't wait. I mean, who knows? They may, like you said, how they don't reference the Catwoman character. It makes me wonder if, although I would think that she's going to have to be Catwoman because supposedly this is Christian Bale and Christopher Nolan's last Batman movie, so I would think they wouldn't just set her up. Like, if she was in the second movie as Selina Kyle, I could see them laying the groundwork for Catwoman, but since this is the quote-unquote last one of the trilogy, I would think that she's got to turn into Catwoman in the movie at some point.
Right.
They probably just don't want to, you know, the people who don't know, they probably don't want to spoil it, I guess, but I don't know how people wouldn't know, but...
Exactly, and not to take a blatantly Joker reference, but Nolan is the type of guy that likes to keep a couple cards up his sleeve and doesn't show his full hand all the time. He's been known to throw in those twists and turns when we weren't really aware of what was going to happen.
True. I'm sure it's probably going to be a different style of Catwoman because, you know, anything he's done so far hasn't been, you know, straight adaptation from anything. So I'm excited to see how she plays Selina Kyle and how, if she plays Catwoman, how she's going to play it. But she's got the body for it. She's got the acting skill. I think it's a phenomenal choice.
Yeah, I agree. I really like her as an actress, so I'm very happy to see her joining the series here. And speaking of having different takes on characters, additionally, speculation on the villain being played by Tom Hardy can stop, because the press release also confirmed that Hardy will appear as the back-breaking Bane. Nolan said, quote, "I am delighted to be working with Tom again and excited to watch him bring to life our new interpretation of one of Batman's most formidable enemies."
Thank God. I'm sorry, but I have to go on a rant because...
Go for it.
As a kid, I'm sure you read Nightfall, right? The storyline of Bane.
Totally.
Breaking. Yeah. So you read that and you're like, okay, Bane is so awesome. He's so smart and brilliant.
He's the evil Batman.
Yeah. He figured out Bruce Wayne is Batman. He's broken the bat. He's done what no one else could ever do. He took down Bruce Wayne. Then you see Batman. And as a kid, you hear Batman Robin's coming out. And I think I was... my teens, and you're like, oh, Bane's going to be in it? This is going to be awesome. And then you go see it, and they've turned him into a walking comedy act that just goes, bomb! Break wall smashes, and he was a complete, utter disappointment. And then, of course, reading Joel Schumacher interviews afterwards saying he only put him in the movie because it was his grandson's favorite character. And I'm just like, really? Could you just not put him in the movie at all to, you know, it was nothing like Bane at all, except, you know, he looked like a retarded steroid thing. And I feel bad saying that because the guy who did play him passed away shortly after playing him. But
did he really?
Yeah, he was actually a former professional wrestler who was really obviously had hit the roids quite a bit. So.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited, and I hope to God that I'm sure it's with Christopher Nolan that this is going to be a different Bane, but obviously even a new interpretation. So I'm excited to see what they do with them, and I'm sure it's going to be awesome. So I'm ecstatic. I did not think Bane, of all the people, the villains they were bringing up, I didn't even think of Bane, honestly. I don't think he was mentioned that often as one of the villains that they were being even considered. At least not to my knowledge.
I had my fingers crossed that Bane would be a part of the third movie, but when they said Tom Hardy was playing the villain, I was like, I don't see Tom Hardy playing Bane, but like you said, Christopher Nolan likes to take new interpretations of some of these things, so clearly Hardy doesn't really have the size, and I can't see them making him, like, he'll probably do some extensive training to get in, like, bulkier shape for this role, but he's not going to be like hulking Bane. He's I think, a lot more like, I hate to make this comparison because I don't want to doom the film before it even comes out. But in the same idea that Raimi had by casting almost an evil Spider-Man instead of like a big hulking Venom.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think Nolan's going to go with that idea of like having Bane as like the evil Batman.
Yeah, and I, you know, as much as everyone hates Spider-Man 3, I thought Topher Grace was fine as Eddie Brock, and they didn't need to have a hulking to me. But that was I thought Venom was okay for what it was. The rest of the movie was terrible, but you know, for that part, I thought it was fine.
Yeah, so, I thought that was an okay idea to try.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, I don't know. I just for some reason Bane never entered into my mind as even being a possibility in these, but you know what? It makes, I think, a perfect amount of sense because he's very underexposed and they're not going for the, you know, Riddler, Penguin, you know, generic. Oh, everyone's like, oh, it's going to be Two-Face again. And like all these, you know, all these gossip places for years have been since Dark Knight talking about who's going to be in it.
Yeah.
So I think it's funny how it's absolutely nothing what they predicted.
Now, I did have another story we were going to talk about that had a list of actresses that Nolan was testing for two female roles in the movie. And oddly enough, one of those listed was Anne Hathaway, who has since been cast. So I think that puts a little credibility to the list. So,
well, no, that I'm just meaning like, you know, the outlandish, you know, things like, at the beginning, I think it was Johnny Depp was going to be the Riddler,
right,
and all that.
Yeah, that stuff was crazy.
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, he's going to be walking around with a question mark on him. I don't think so. Yeah, like, I don't know. And who they said someone was going to be the Penguin. I forget who.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes. Yeah, and I was just like, all right. But yeah, I guess, was it also in the list they were talking about the other female role was supposed to be Talia Az Ghul? Is that
goes into the next part of my story right here. It's been said for a bit now that Nolan was looking to cast two female roles, a love interest and a villain, one of which is rumored to be Talia, the daughter of Ra's al Ghul. They didn't specify whether, like, who would be the love interest and who would be the villain, though. Reportedly, the actresses that are due to test for the roles, one of them was Anne Hathaway, who got cast as a role. So I guess the other one must be Talia, but the other one, the other actresses being tested were Keira Knightley, Jessica Biel, Gemma Arterton, Kate Mara, and Charlotte Riley. So it's not confirmed that the other female role is Talia or that they'll even keep another female role, but I do have a prediction as to how this movie is going to go down if we're open to speculation here.
I don't care. Okay. Go for it.
I'm going to throw it out now so that it's recorded. And if things actually go down like this, I'm going to be like, hell yes, I was totally right.
I will give you a prize if you're right now.
Here's my prediction. Talia is the villain and Selena is the love interest. Some people might go right to Selena being Catwoman being the villain. And since Talia was actually married to Bruce for a short while in the comics, and they had a son, people might think she's the love interest, but Talia's the villain, Selena's the love interest. As far as the plot goes, I think Talia, for those who don't know, Talia is Ra's al Ghul's daughter, and he was the villain in the first Batman movie, and I say the first Batman movie, because Batman Begins is the first Batman movie that counts to me. Talia will come and hold Batman responsible for the death of her father, if he's actually dead. And she'll either train or hire Bane to take him down.
I could see
Selena
that.
Selena is the love interest and will eventually become Catwoman, whatever form that is, and fight alongside Batman against both Talia and Bane.
That would be awesome. It's a really good prediction. I could kind of see it going. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, a twist of some sort. But that's great speculation, I think, on the level of, I dig that.
Yeah, if that was it, I'd be pumped because I like that idea. I'm sure there are 1,000 other ways Nolan could take it, and I would still love it.
Yeah,
I'm sure. That's my those are my hopes and dreams right there.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
Let's go into the next story then. That was just monumental. There's more big stuff as the first image of Andrew Garfield was released in the Spider-Man costume. No mask necessarily, but we did get a good look at the costume. Sony Pictures has released the first official image of Andrew Garfield in costume for the Spider-Man reboot, set to hit theaters on July 3rd, 2012. What were your first take on the suit here?
I don't know. I kind of liked it. I mean, it doesn't look like the bulky Power Ranger type. I mean, you know, granted, I did like the last suit. It was fine for its time, but this is definitely more slimlined and more to the younger Ultimate Spider-Man for comic fans that know that alternate comic book universe where he's younger, he's still 16. Yep. And this is more along the lines of that design, and it's a little more form-fitting, and it's definitely more spandexy inside of the other one. Sort of look like, they never really explained it, but when he put it on, it looked like he was in like almost a bulkier suit,
right,
which didn't really make sense to me. But it looked fine. But I like this. I have to say I'm a fan of it. I wasn't a fan of anything really else in the movie so far, but I like this.
Yeah, the Raimi suit was a very good interpretation of the suit from the comics. And this one, I do like it too. It's got a bit of a darker tone to it. All the colors are a little more muted.
Yes, that's true. They're a lot darker.
Yeah. The one beef I have with the costume so far is how far down the front torso red line stretches.
Yeah, it goes all the way down to where like his waist, where usually they would have the sort of red connect. Yeah, it's
right,
different.
But that's it. Like, aside from that, I think it looks great. It has a clear texture to it and everything that looks really impressive.
The gloves are a little, sorry to interrupt, but the gloves are a little longer too. They come up to almost his elbows, which is interesting.
Yeah, I kind of dig that.
I think
those look really good. There's definitely some claw marks on him. Like, he just came out of a fight with the Lizard, who everybody knows by now is the villain of the movie. The one thing I'm missing is I want to see the mask.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think the mask is going to prove whether it's going to look good or not as completely. I mean, you can make as much speculation how it looks now without the mask. You can't really see the complete picture. Yeah. So,
and I'm really digging, not to sound too weird here, but I'm digging the way Andrew Garfield looks in it because.
Oh, I agree. He looks like Peter Parker. I think
he's a lot skinnier and taller than Tobey Maguire, and I think almost lends himself to the Todd McFarlane school of Spider-Man, where he is a little more elongated and mimics looking more like a spider.
Yeah. I hadn't really thought of that until you mentioned it, but Tobey Maguire was very short and sort of like, he didn't, he did a fine job. You know, those movies are going to, whatever, stand the test of time. At least the first two will. But I have to say, Garfield looks really decent as Peter Parker, and he has surprisingly looks good in the suit.
Yeah, I think when you see him down in like a classic Spider-Man pose and his elbows are like up in the air, he's going to look really elongated. It's going to be just awesome. Yeah. Awesome shots, I think.
I will say that the news today that I heard makes me kind of sad that J. Jonah Jameson will not be in this movie, the character of J. Jonah Jameson.
Really?
I forget where I read it, but it was officially confirmed from somewhere. But so now they have no Mary Jane and no J. Jonah Jameson. So it's fine. It's just that they're seemingly really taking major parts of Spider-Man out of a Spider-Man movie. But what can you say? I guess they're doing their own thing.
Yeah. It seems like they're just taking every possible measure to really separate themselves from the prior trilogy.
Yeah, big time. And cut down the costs, obviously, because they probably don't want to hire some. I did see a picture of Dennis Leary as Gwen Stacy's dad, but that was whatever. Yeah, so,
Again, like the Spider-Man costume, more huge news. Marvel has released the first full costume image of Chris Evans as Captain America. Captain America: The First Avenger is set to hit theaters on July 22nd, 2011. Now, this is a little bit of a departure from the classic Cap suit, but not all in bad ways, I don't think.
It is, but on the other hand, it's exactly pretty much pretty close to his ultimate Captain America World War II outfit. Yep. So I like it, and I think it looks spectacular for a film because, you know, did you ever see the straight-to-video 1990s Cap movie?
And it was incredibly odd-looking.
They had the you know, completely accurate suit, but it looked ridiculous because he's running around in World War II with a giant rubber mask with the giant wings, and it just looked ridiculous. And I was like, as a kid, it just even looked ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think, you know, giving him the military helmet and the military-style garb for this part, and he still has the shield. And, I mean, really, him in action picture, I think, really made me geek out because he looks... For all the people who are like, oh, Chris Evans is Captain America, it looks pretty awesome. It looks like I can dig him as an action star, and I can dig him as Captain America.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of people are complaining about the wings on the helmet specifically, but I think this was the most realistic solution for that. He's not going to have mask or a helmet with wings sticking off them and be taken seriously.
That makes no sense. Well, yeah, exactly. So I'm perfectly. He's got the A on it. Yep. I mean, whatever. It's as close as accurate as you can get with it making me look like a realistic type thing.
And you mentioned earlier the World War II suit, and that really is the key here. People need to remember that this is also a period piece. This is taking place in World War II, and he's not going to have like all this crazy, super awesome looking stuff like that's more modernized. It is a classic. Old school Captain America kind of costume. And my one beef, I think, with the costume still is like the part on the helmet that just goes over his ear and all that. But I mean, I understand their reasons for having it, and it is a lot more realistic that way.
Yeah, I didn't even, now that you mentioned it, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's a little, but.
And it seems counterproductive for a super soldier to cover up his ears. But that aside, I think the rest of the costume looks absolutely amazing and very realistic. And you also have to keep in mind that this doesn't mean that it's staying this way. This is a period piece now. We all know
what happens for
the Avengers. He's going to become frozen at some point and defrosted in modern times. And then we might get a whole new Captain America costume for the Avengers.
That's what I was thinking. I would definitely not be surprised if there's another costume change for the Avengers movie, at least a modernized, not, they may not completely, you know, deviate from this, but at least modernize it a little bit. So
yeah, some big things, as far as the costume world goes. There was also the X-Men First Class. I didn't write it on here, but the X-Men First Class.
Yeah, I was actually just going to bring that up. If you saw
I did see it, and it, I need to see a high res one.
Yeah, exactly. You could barely. I just thought it was a weird collection of characters to do. It's very strange, and it doesn't even. It has no like basis from the like a lot of the characters they're throwing in there have never been in the X-Men.
Right.
It's just kind of. So I don't know, but you know, Bryan Singer's executive producing it, and Matt Vaughn's directing it, so that gives me hope. But I don't know. It just seems kind of bizarre. But,
I mean, if that's the way they're going with the costumes, they're at least preferable to the all-black or primarily all-black that they have in the past. And
They have the traditional blue and yellow.
If anything, Emma Frost's costume looks spot on. So
actually, that's good. Yes, January Jones's Emma Frost looks spectacular. Looks like
Yeah, but I need to see something a little more high res so I can really analyze these things.
I agree.
Because these are the things we do in our spare time. next story here. The Big Bang Theory renewed for 3 more years. In an unprecedented move, CBS made a major announcement recently at the Critics Association press tour panel. The Big Bang Theory will return for 3 more seasons. That's a big deal.
That is a huge deal. And it doesn't surprise me, though, because, I mean, right now it's, if not one of their highest rated shows and critically acclaimed and highest rating, and the geeks love it. And I doesn't surprise me. I was a little surprised that it was 3 seasons, but, you know, strike while the iron's hot. I'm sure the strike while the iron is hot, as I've tried to say. I'm sure they, I mean, try to do it, lock it up for as long as they can. So I'm thinking, you know, it doesn't really surprise me, but that is a huge thing.
Yeah, some people don't like it, but it is, I think, one of the better shows on TV right now. And I don't watch a lot of sitcoms.
I was just going to say that for a sitcom, it's better than the usual, you know, generic. There's a lot of people that are like, oh, it's just it's not really a geek show, just sensation. It's like it makes fun of the geeks and whatever. There's a little of that, but I mean, I've seen quite a number of episodes, and I mean, I enjoy it, but it's not like the greatest, you know, show of all time. But for a sitcom, I think it's perfectly better than, you know, most of them.
Right. So, I mean, some people don't like it just because they don't dig that kind of humor, but I think a lot of people don't like it just because, as geeks, we like to keep things to ourselves, and bringing these things into the mainstream kind of pisses off people. I have no problem with that.
No, I think you're exactly right, though. I think that's a big thing a lot of people have with it. So, but yeah, I don't care. I think it's showing that, you know, with all these comic book movies and all, it's obviously becoming more of a in thing, obviously, for all these, you know, geek things to be out there.
So. The next story is a bit of a continuation on something we talked about last week, and that is regarding the Wonder Woman TV series. Despite all the major broadcasters having passed on the show, David E. Kelly says that he still thinks his vision of for Wonder Woman will air at some point. Quote, "I think the likelihood is we'll see it next year," he told The Hollywood Reporter. "I'm being optimistic, but I don't think I'm being unrealistic." Kelly noted that the script was rolled out very late in the game and said that he would bring the project back to NBC, which reportedly passed. The project reportedly failed to move forward there due to executive reshuffling. So it wasn't even the financial cost of licensing the product or the character, but it's really just an administrative thing where they're not in an organized position to really do anything with it yet.
I just think that DC really needs this. Whether the show is going to be good or not, which is debatable, they're losing Smallville. And after the season, they're going to have pretty much not much in the realm of TV, where Marvel's got Hulk deal lined up. They've got 2 or 3 other TV series in development that are supposedly going to happen with ABC Family. So I really think DC needs to put their foot down and somehow, I mean, they've got Warner Brothers. They need to have something on TV that's going to, you know, and I mean, and I hate to say it, but Green Lantern is looking more and more like it's going to be profitable, but it's going to get slaughtered by all the Marvel movies that are coming out the same year. I mean, I really think DC needs to do something, or they're going to be in big trouble. Not like they're going to go out of business trouble, but they're going to be in trouble of, you know, again, like they've been the past couple of years, losing their footing to Marvel.
I agree. They can't rest everything they're doing media-wise on Christopher Nolan's shoulders.
No, that's what I was going to say. Without him, they'd be like, okay, we've got absolutely nothing. So, I mean, yeah, they need to do something. And so I hope the series gets picked up somewhere. I don't know if it's going to be good or not. That's debatable, but...
Agreed. If they cast Bridget Regan, it will be. But aside from that, who knows? Last bit of news we have for this week is a decent amount of Marvel vs. Capcom 3 news. Once again, we see a couple more. Capcom is contributing Street Fighter fan favorite Akuma, while Marvel will add the move-stealing Taskmaster.
That's awesome. Yeah. I cannot wait. The cast for this game is unbelievable.
It's just getting better and better, too.
It is. It's so classic.
And you know DLC is going to be rolling out as well in the future.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be... I can't wait. It comes out like a week after my birthday, and I can't wait.
I know. I'm like ready to pre-order now.
Yeah, seriously.
And another bit of news, not related to the roster, but I found particularly interesting. According to GamesRadar, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has a unique way of dealing with what they call rage quitters. These are people who habitually quit online matches before they are over. The game reportedly tracks players' quitting habits and can detect those who quit frequently. These players will then be placed in a new matchmaking bracket, one populated solely by other rage quitters.
That's fantastic. I like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, my word of advice to you people out there, just make sure you have a stable internet connection, because if you quit too many matches, I guess, in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, you're getting dropped down into this whole other tier where it's just a bunch of people that always quit matches all the time, so you're not really going to have a whole lot of fun playing online.
They really need to do that for SmackDown versus Raw, because whenever I play that game online, I'll be like winning a match and someone will just drop out.
I hate that.
I'll just be like, fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like, take your win like a man.
Yeah, and just like, so then you have a disconnect percentage, and but you didn't get your loss. It's like,
even if you're a chick, take it like a man.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So we're gonna take a quick break right now, and before we do, I'm gonna give out the poll question, and I didn't do it before the news on purpose, because it is actually about some stuff in the news. And I'm not only going to even ask one question this week. This is more of a conversation thing. I want some solid feedback here, and I think people will be able to give some interesting ideas. So I really have two major questions for everybody. A, what are your thoughts on the Dark Knight Rises news, those castings of Anne Hathaway and Tom Hardy and the roles they're playing? And B, what's your opinion on the Spider-Man and Captain America costumes? I'm sure we're going to get some very heated arguments and opinions there. So, again, your thoughts on the Dark Knight Rises news and your opinion on the Spider-Man and Captain America costumes. Please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. I'd love to get some great responses, because I think people have some strong opinions out there.
Yeah, do it.
And with that said, we will be back after these words. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hi, my name is Jamie King. I'm an actress and a writer and a soon-to-be director. I have just written a short film called Latchkey. Latchkey will be my first narrative short that I will direct. It's always been my dream to be a director, and this subject matter is very dear and true to my heart. It is about a young girl who's 14 years old and her first day back to school after her mother died, and her inability to deal with her loss until the world forces her to do so. My dream is to film this in Omaha, Nebraska, where I was born and raised, and include the community of wonderful creative people there. My prayer and intention is to raise $12,500 to be able to make and complete this short film. And we have awesome rewards and gifts to give you if you contribute. And some of the biggest ones are becoming a full producer, an exec producer, or a co-producer, which is really kind of awesome. So we'd be grateful for any contribution that you can make. I'd be really, really, really excited and happy to share this process with you. Thank you so much.
To help support Jamie and her short film, visit Indiegogo.com and search for Latchkey.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. Yes, you are.
All right, as promised in this part of the show, we are going to take a look at the Golden Globes for 2011. We're not going to go over absolutely every award that they handed out, but at least the ones that are important to us, and mostly the major ones. This is the majority of stuff that they handed out. But I have to admit right off that I didn't watch the Golden Globes, so I can't react to everything that happened on the show. But I don't know. I never really got into all these award shows, and the main reason we're doing this is, well, it's just something to talk about, for one. But I like to, I don't know, I guess, poke at award shows and try and figure out why they make the choices they do, because a lot of the times it just doesn't seem like a logical decision to me. So there's got to be some sort of motivation behind these things, and I don't know what entirely is, but not before we get into the awards themselves, there was a lot of controversy coming out of the Golden Globes this year with host Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, big time. Apparently, he offended a lot of celebrities and people, and even the, supposedly the foreign press associate, whatever, the people that put on the Golden Globes and vote on the movies. He pissed off apparently a lot of people. But I'm sure, I don't know if you're going to say this, I'm probably stepping over your toes, but I guess yesterday he released a statement saying that all these rumors were exaggerated and that he had drinks with people after the show and everything was fine. But I don't really buy that, considering there was you could see it in the faces of some of the actors and actresses, because I did see some of the Golden Globes, and they were legitimately pissed off when he was saying certain things.
Right. So, I a couple people mentioned Tim Allen and Steve Carell specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like really fuming, and you could see they would cut. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, okay, were they like pretending to be upset? I mean, they were really like looked like they legit were upset. So
either that, or they're amazing actors, and we just don't know yet.
I'm just gonna say that. Let's be an actor within an actor. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, of course, and there's the other side of the people who are like, oh, he was hilarious, and he brought it, and you know, it's comedy is supposed to be all about, you know, making people feel uncomfortable and stuff. And I'm like, I don't really know if that's true. So it's a tricky thing. But the bottom line is, yeah, there's controversy.
Well, he apparently insulted the people to the point that there are rumors now that any movie he is in the future will not be considered for a Golden Globe nomination, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I read that. He also shot that down, which, but I believe, yeah.
Your performance on one award show is not a measure of how good an actor you are.
Yeah, I don't think I don't understand how that could possibly, and that even shows how, you know, bad award things are, like, to vote. If they're really like gonna include that as a reason not to, that shows you how, you know, wishy-washy and, you know, that has nothing to do with his, like you said, his acting ability. Yeah.
So while I didn't necessarily watch the Golden Globes, I did watch a clip on YouTube that was about 10 and a half minutes long that pretty much showed every introduction and joke he told. And
if it's only 10
minutes long, wow, what a gig. But I don't really care that it was a little mean-spirited. My issue is that it really wasn't that funny.
I was just going to say that. I don't know if it's just, I thought it was just me. But no, some of them were, it was just like, okay, that's not that. I didn't, honestly, I don't think I laughed like maybe once or twice I chuckled, but it wasn't like, you know, a real laugh. It was just like, okay, he's just saying dickish things to be a dick pretty much.
Yeah, his best line was his opener about Charlie Sheen. And then after that, it was like,
And then everything else, I'm just like, okay, you're just being like complete, you're just trying to be controversial. And okay, that's fine, but I don't know if it was exactly funny. But a lot of people are like, oh man, you just don't get that British humor is all about that. And I'm just like, okay, I guess.
And whether or not you like the jokes he did, when's the last time anyone paid attention to the Golden Globes? And now they're all over the place.
Yep. So, I mean, apparently he'll never host it again, but it got a lot more publicity out of this than anything else.
Yeah, he did his job for at least 2 years, because everyone's talking about it this year, and then next year, whoever gets the hosting gig, it's going to be compared to him. So, yeah.
Yep.
He did his job for 2 years. He got them ratings. So, up Golden Globes, because he did his job. So, let's start taking a look at the list here. I wrote them down in almost decreasing order. I'm thinking we might want to work from the bottom up.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Okay. Let's look at then the best actress in a TV series, comedy, or musical. And while we're on this subject, someone explain to me why comedies and musicals are grouped together.
I have no idea. That's a very good question, because I guess I'm starting to think, is it just because of Glee? Like, did they do this before? Or is it because of Glee is sort of like a musical and a comedy at the same time, and they can't really put it in two separate categories? Because I'm like, how is this even like, because it seems like, I don't know, there's not really that many musical TV series, so I don't know. I'm thinking it might just been rephrased for Glee, but that, because they were in a lot of the categories, but that's just kind of weird.
If I'm not mistaken, it's A, always been like this, and B, the Academy Awards goes by the same standard.
Oh, well then, I'm wrong then, but no, okay, no, that, and then still that really doesn't make sense to me, so yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't understand the connection between comedy and musical. There might not be enough musicals to classify them in their own category.
But why stick them with comedy?
Why stick them anywhere? Because I'm going to argue musicals aren't even entertainment. So I don't know why they're even getting awards. Someone should be shot for this stuff. It's ridiculous.
All you, anyone in a musical out there, I hope you're not listening.
I know. Oh, terrible. Well, then, Best Actress in a TV Series, Comedy or Musical. The nominees were Lea Michele in Glee, Tina Fey from 30 Rock, Edie Falco from Nurse Jackie, Toni Collette from United States of Tara, and Laura Linney from The Big C. I've heard of like two of these shows.
I'm just gonna see. I've seen 30 Rock, and I heard United States of Tara is really, really well done, but I haven't seen it. And all the others I've heard of, but I've never seen.
Yeah.
And Glee, I would never, ever, ever watch. Even when Joss Whedon directed an episode, I would not watch it. So that shows
that's
you
a lot.
Yeah.
Out of all these, I've seen one episode of 30 Rock, and that's as far. So the winner was Laura Linney in The Big C, which I have no idea what the hell that is.
It's about a woman having to deal with cancer, and it's, I think it's on Showtime or HBO. Supposedly it's pretty good, but I've never seen it, so I can't comment on if this was a good choice or not. But
yeah, sorry. A woman dealing with cancer, that sounds hilarious.
Yeah,
good comedy. Idiots. Who pitches this stuff? That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
So I can't pick anything better here because I just haven't seen it, and no, I would go with Tina Fey out of any of them just because.
I was just gonna say that too, but you know, I don't know. Maybe you know, who knows? Maybe this Big C show is really well done. I've heard it is, but I haven't seen it.
Big C. I can make some other jokes right now, but I'm gonna try and say somewhat appropriate. All right.
You want laughing?
Best actor in a TV series, comedy or musical. The nominees were Alec Baldwin in 30 Rock, Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, Steve Carell from The Office, Thomas Jane from Hung, and Matthew Morrison from Glee. And I don't think I can watch Hung just because The Punisher.
No. Plus, he's had a destructive career. I mean, I don't know. After The Punisher, I mean, he's gone from being a pretty much drunk, unreliable, you know, horrible person to work with, and then he has the show now called Hung, where and you know, I've heard good things about it, but I just can't really watch it. And I don't know, all these nominees, it just seems so, with the exception of, you know, Glee and Big Bang Theory, I'm sorry, but Alec Baldwin and 30 Rock and Steve Carell in The Office, every single year, those two names, there should be a certain point where they can just say, okay, you can't win anymore. Because no matter how good of a job they've done, they've won a zillion times before. I just think Steve Carell, it's his last year in The Office. But whatever. Just, you know, I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah.
It's just annoying to see the same names over and over and over again.
Well, in the first correct decision of the night, they did award it to Jim Parsons of The Big Bang Theory, who I will continue to argue is playing probably one of the funniest characters, if not one of the best characters in television history. As Sheldon Cooper on The Big Bang Theory, I think he's freaking hysterical.
Agreed. I was surprised he won, but I was glad he won.
Absolutely. Very happy with that one. Best actress in a TV series drama. I'm pretty sure I've seen none of these shows, but let's go over them anyway. Juliana Margulies, whatever.
Yeah, I think you had
the
right
Good Wife. Now, before I go on with the nominees here, they made a show about the wife of a cheating politician. Yep. How is this still on past like three episodes? What are they doing?
Apparently a lot of, you know, older, I think it's the older demographic that watches it, obviously, because I can't figure anyone else who'd want to watch it, but I guess it's got ratings and critical success, apparently.
It's not even about the appeal of it, because I can see a miniseries, but are they in like a second or third season now?
Second season.
Why? Story over by now, I would think.
I don't know. I've never seen it, but I guess maybe they switch twists and turns. Who knows?
Twists and turns. Juliana Margulies, Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, Piper Perabo from Covert Affairs, Kira Sedgwick from The Closer, and Katie Sagal from Sons of Anarchy. Now, I know Mad Men, pretty popular show. Obviously, yep. Sons of Anarchy is becoming more and more popular. The Closer, I think, is on its last season right now.
Yes, that's the one that's and also Covert Affairs had its first season, and I actually watched the entire first season on it. It's a USA show, and I've liked Piper Perabo since
Coyote Ugly.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of the name of the movie.
Good movie. I don't care who says it. Good movie.
I was just going to say the same thing. I don't want to admit it, but I saw that movie in the theater, and yes, they reference comic books in that movie.
I loved that movie.
But you know, she's fantastic in Covert Affairs, and I'm glad to see her back in the spotlight. So I didn't even know she was nominated until I saw this list, which is sad. But I would kind of wish she won, but she's actually really good in it. So I'm glad to see her getting recognition, and I await the second season that starts soon.
Well, I've never seen
seen
any of these shows, but
I haven't seen any of the others.
They did give the Globe to Katie Sagal from Sons of Anarchy. And she's a great actress. I mean, you might not have thought much of her on Married with Children originally, but even to pull that off is pretty impressive. But since then, she's been the voice of Leela on Futurama. She had a great run in Lost, and she's doing things all over the board. So good for her.
Yeah. She's had a long career, which is good for her.
Meanwhile, the guy, what is it, Ed Harris?
He looks like
from Married with Children is on Modern Family now.
Yeah.
Or Ed Harris. No, what, am I thinking the right name?
No, you were right. Yeah, the first time. You were right.
And he's on another huge show. So look at that. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. And well, actually, I was going to say Bud Bundy is the only one who's gone absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, good for him. we all knew that was going to happen. And it's such a self-fulfilling prophecy. They wrote the show that way, and look at what happened. Best actor in a TV series drama. The nominees were Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad, Michael C. Hall for Dexter, John Hamm for Mad Men, Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire, and Hugh Laurie for House, because Hugh Laurie's never gotten a nomination for House before.
I was just going to say that. I don't watch House, and I have a lot of friends who love that show and die by it. But come on, he must have – it's on like, what, its ninth season? Seriously, I don't care. He shouldn't be nominated anymore. Too bad.
Yeah.
But I think Dexter should have won, but it didn't. Boardwalk Empire, I heard, is really good. Mm-hmm. Breaking Bad, I heard, is really good. And of course, Mad Men is everyone's favorite show. So, I mean, it was a tough category. I think any one of them could have potentially won, but did Steve Buscemi win?
They gave the Globe to Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
I agree with you that Michael C. Hall should win it every year for as long as Dexter's on, on TV, because it's the best show on television. I don't care what people say about the most recent season. It is the best show on television. And, the only other show there I've even seen is House. So.
Yeah.
I really just am not super interested. I know people love Mad Men, but
I just don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I don't care about a 50s, set in the 50s ad agency. I know I'm supposed to, but
yeah,
I don't.
Me neither.
So.
Best television series, comedy or musical?
Ugh.
I know, right? The nominees were 30 Rock, The Big Bang Theory, The Big C, Modern Family, Nurse Jackie, and Glee. And for some reason, beyond any Glee one, I don't.
I was gonna say, out of any of them, I would have taken anything. I would have taken Nurse Jackie. I would have taken why Glee? I don't know, but Glee is popular. Everyone loves it because they sing, and it's got a kid in a wheelchair. And I'm being really bad now, but it's got
so did all Malcolm in the Middle. Okay. And that was a way better show, I guarantee you.
It's got all these. Oh, they sing all these famous. Got Britney Spears guesting. I don't care. Glee sucks. I've never seen it. Joss Whedon directed an episode. I still didn't see it. It sucks.
I don't need to see it to know it sucks. I don't need to put my hand in a fire to know it's hot. All right. I don't have to watch Glee.
I'm sorry for anyone out there who loves Glee, but I'm sorry. I just think it sucks. It looks terrible, and it's not to my liking.
You can apologize all you want. I'm not apologizing for a thing. Glee is just an abomination. But the winner there should have been Modern Family, easily. If Dexter was not on TV right now, Modern Family would be the best show on television.
Even Big Bang Theory, anything. 30, I don't care. Anything but Glee. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Modern Family probably should
have. And I love The Big Bang Theory, but Modern Family should have won. That is an incredibly well-written show with an amazing cast. And why they
not as
weren't.
Good as Glee, apparently.
Yeah, whatever. why anyone from Modern Family wasn't nominated? Actually, there was not one nomination from Modern Family that I think we'll get to, but aside from that, there really weren't any others, and that just shocked me.
I think they were last year a lot more because it was a new show, but I don't know.
Best television series drama. I'm assuming I haven't seen most of these, and it's a lot of repetition here. The Good Wife, Dexter, Boardwalk Empire, Mad Men, and The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give it. I watched Walking Dead and I liked it, but I wouldn't have given it to The Walking Dead.
Is it even worthy of a nomination?
It's worthy of a nomination, but I wouldn't have given it to it. Still Boardwalk Empire. I know if Scott Toomey watches it and he says it's great. I haven't seen it. I don't really have interest in it, but I guess it must be good if it's winning all these awards. Probably not, though.
They did give it to Boardwalk Empire.
I don't even know what it's about. It's about like Hollywood dealings or something. I don't even know. I'm probably making this up.
All I know that is apparently to win a Golden Globe this year, you had to have a lot of nudity, either in your career or just on the screen in your show or movie. That's all this is telling me right now.
Probably.
The Golden Globes is taking on a whole new meaning this year.
It is.
But the winner there should have been Dexter. I mean, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I don't know why Boardwalk Empire won, but whatever. Yeah. It's moving on.
Moving on. Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture. Oh, yeah, we're in motion pictures now. How about that? Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture. And this is all across the board, every genre. The nominees were Amy Adams for The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Melissa Leo for The Fighter, Mila Kunis for Black Swan, and Jackie Weaver for some movie I've never heard of.
I was just going to say the same thing. I had hoped you knew it. I have no
idea
what
Animal Kingdom is. What is that?
I have no idea what that is. I guess it must be one of those weird independent flicks that no one sees but thinks are awesome.
Yeah, like a pseudo indie documentary mashup.
Exactly. I was thinking these. And I'm going to get flack for this, I'm sure, from you, but I not to bash The Fighter. I like The Fighter, but I don't think they should have two nominations from the same movie in the same category.
I agree.
I agree with that. That was my.
Would you have a particular choice there as to who it would go to?
I would have given it to Amy Adams, I think. I don't think Mila Kunis was really good in Black Swan, but not, you know, better than Amy Adams. Mm-hmm. I didn't see The King's Speech, so I don't know. Didn't see Animal Kingdom, so
okay. Well, I did see Black Swan, The Fighter. They gave it to Melissa Leo, The Fighter, who, if people aren't familiar with which role she played, that was the mother. Marky Mark's mom in the movie. Marky Mark's mom. And actually, I agree with that. I think she did a really, really great job. But again, I haven't seen The King's Speech or indie documentary animal thing.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen those either. So, and probably not going to.
Yeah, me neither. But I dug her performance in The Fighter, and I can understand that entirely. So Golden Globes, I think that's what, two? Correct decision.
Yeah,
I
think that's like maybe one or
they're not doing too well right now.
No.
Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture. And again, this is across multiple genres. Michael Douglas in Wall Street Money Never Sleeps.
Seriously? Okay, sorry.
No, I agree with you here. Go ahead.
One, the movie fucking bombed terribly. No one even saw it. It was a sequel to a movie that came out in 1981, 2, 3, 4. Michael Douglas, great actor, not in this movie. I saw the trailer. No, why God? They're just doing this out of tribute because honestly, he's got cancer now. So are they just doing this because they feel bad for him? I'm sorry.
You said it before me. I was gonna be like, I hate to be the guy to say this, but this is a cancer nomination.
Because the movie bombed. Everyone hated it. It's not even. You can't even sell it on Blu-ray. You have to put it in a 2-pack with the original. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. The other nominees, as far as I know, are all very deserving. Christian Bale in The Fighter. Amazing. Yes. Andrew Garfield in The Social Network. Amazing. Jeremy Renner in The Town. Amazing. Yes. I haven't seen The King's Speech, but Jeffrey Rush was nominated there as well.
I was going to say, I can't imagine Jeffrey Rush not doing a good job.
The Golden Globe went to Christian Bale for The Fighter, and I couldn't agree more. So,
very well deserved.
Three correct ones from the Golden Globe so far. Would you say anything different? Or
I was going to say I would have given it to either him or Jeremy Renner. I haven't seen Social Network, but I heard it's really good, so I might have changed it if I had seen it. But either of those two, but I'm completely, completely fine with Christian Bale winning.
Yeah, Christian Bale is a god among men as far as actors go.
Considering he'll never win for anything for Batman because that's a comic book.
Yeah,
movie,
he should, though. I mean, The Dark Knight.
That's what I'm just saying. So I'm glad he's winning it in something because, God forbid, they nominate him in anything else. That, you know.
I'm kind of pumped I saw him perform in a award-winning role now.
Yeah.
I love it. Best Actress in a Motion Picture, Comedy. The nominees were Anne Hathaway for Love and Other Drugs, Julianne Moore for The Kids Are All Right, Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right, Emma Stone for Easy A, and Angelina Jolie for The Tourist.
Once again, Tourist was a terrible, terrible movie from what I hear. It bombed in the box office. No one wanted any part of it. And yet, just because it's Angelina Jolie, let's nominate her.
I think it's really interesting that an Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp movie, supposedly like the top female and the top male are in a movie together, and nobody went to go see it.
And it was absolutely terrible from what I hear. And I mean, so they made the jokes about it. Ricky Gervais was making the jokes, and you could tell she was getting upset. And it's like, you know what? Your movie sucked anyways.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised she even showed up.
but again, they nominated two actresses from the same movie for The Kids Are All Right. And the award ended up going to Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right.
I didn't know she was still acting.
Yeah. The only I've seen I saw Anne Hathaway in Love and Other Drugs, and I saw
that movie where she just gets naked in a lot.
She is naked a lot.
They should have just given her that. I'm going to be sexist, but yeah, just give it to her for her breasts.
There you go. I can't say I disagree with that, but the only movies I did see here were Love and Other Drugs and Easy A. And Easy A was slightly better than I thought it would be, but it still wasn't that great.
I heard it was pretty good, but yeah, I was surprised to see that on here. I'm like, okay, that's random.
Yeah, so I would say give it to Anne Hathaway just by default, because it's the only thing I can really justify on this list. You're laughing for totally different reasons than what I'm actually talking. I'm talking about the fact that it's like the only movie I saw here that was good.
I know.
And you're still like in pervy town.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's move on.
Okay. Best actor in a motion picture comedy.
Yes.
The nominees were Paul Giamatti for Barney's Version, Johnny Depp for Alice in Wonderland, Johnny Depp for The Tourist.
All right. I have the same actor nominated twice for two different movies.
Yeah.
That's fucking tarded. I'm sorry. Too bad. But that's... Wow, he doesn't have thankfully, he didn't win, but that doesn't have... He doesn't have a certain advantage or anything by nominated twice.
Yeah. Gyllenhaal for Love and Other Drugs and Kevin Spacey for Casino Jack.
Heard of that movie, but that's
the only movies I've seen here are Alice in Wonderland and Love and Other Drugs.
I've seen none of them, so I have no...
Alice in Wonderland was pretty terrible, and
I was thinking
Johnny Depp did nothing original in this as far as his acting goes. This is the same
old... Did he just do his usual, like, Willy Wonka,
yeah.
Like...
I haven't seen The Tourist, but I guarantee you that's much more of a departure than... he had in Alice in Wonderland from his normal style.
Yeah.
But the Golden Globe here went to Paul Giamatti for Barney's Version. And I'm not going to fight against it because I love Giamatti.
I do too. I just never heard of the movie, but hey.
He's an actor's actor.
He really
is. The guy is amazing at what he does.
Seriously.
Best
I agree.
Actress in a motion picture drama. The nominees were Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole, Halle Berry for Frankie and Alice, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, and Michelle Williams for the almost NC-17 rated Blue Valentine.
I was just going to say, is that the only that's the only reason I know that movie?
I'm telling you, dude, it's the Golden Globes this year.
I'm like, so did she get nominated because she got topless in that movie? Like, what is this?
I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know.
I've seen none of the movies on the list except Black Swan.
Ditto.
So, and I love Natalie Portman, and she did a fantastic, phenomenal job in that movie, so I agree that they gave it to her.
I agree as well. Because, like I said in my review, that was an Oscar-worthy performance, not just Golden Globes.
She's definitely going
all the way with this one.
I hope so. Halle Berry, I didn't even know that movie existed. I didn't know she was still acting. Nicole Kidman, I'm sure she's a good actor.
Rabbit Hole
movie.
Looks interesting, but so depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I heard. It is a depressing movie. Jennifer Lawrence, I don't even know who that is. And Michelle Williams, we already covered.
Yeah.
So.
Again, with the little giggle after. Brian, you're just coming out of your shell today.
I'm in a weird mood today. It's probably the weather.
Best actor in a motion picture drama. The nominees were Colin Firth for The King's Speech, Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network, James Franco for 127 Hours, Ryan Gosling for Blue Valentine, and Mark Wahlberg for The Fighter. The Golden Globe went to Colin Firth for The King's Speech, which I didn't say yet.
I haven't seen any. I saw The Fighter. I haven't seen any of the others. So I would have to say I like Mark Wahlberg, but I don't know. Well, I don't know if it was worth. Excuse me. I haven't seen any of the other ones. I know Jesse Eisenberg is a great actor, and I heard Social Network's really good, so I don't know if that would have changed my thing. James Franco, I'm sorry. I can't picture him as a Golden Globe winner, but whatever.
I've heard that his performance in 127 Hours is his best work ever.
Yeah. Really? Well, then I take it back, then. Maybe I'll have to check it
but
out.
But still, I would have to give it to Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network, personally.
Yeah. All right.
That's my call on that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so but I heard good things, so I'll go along with that.
Then,
because he's a good actor.
The next category is probably the one I care about the most: best animated feature film.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's not even sarcasm. I friggin' love this category. The nominees were all. I actually saw this. Just shows what kind of a movie watcher I am because I've seen all but one of these movies. The nominees were Toy Story 3, Despicable Me, How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Tangled. And no, I'm not talking about The Illusionist with...
I was thinking that a second. I'm like, is that the... Wait, that was an anime.
No.
It came out a couple years ago. Never mind.
That is not the... why can't I think of his name right now? Edward Norton and Jessica Biel. No, it was not that Illusionist. I hate it when they come up with another movie. Yeah. It's okay if you have like a decent span of time, but it hasn't been that long.
No, that's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, huh?
Yeah, so I don't know what that is. Let's see.
I'm going to go through. Toy Story 3 was phenomenal. Despicable Me, I heard, is phenomenal. Haven't seen it yet. How to Train Your Dragon, I heard was phenomenal, even though it's, quote unquote, some people hate DreamWorks movies, but I heard it was phenomenal. Yep. Tangled, that you said was great. So I don't know what The Illusionist is. So
yeah, I haven't seen The Illusionist. Toy Story 3 was my number 5 on my top 10 of the year. Tangled was number 9 on my top 10 of the year. How to Train Your Dragon and Despicable Me were both honorable mentions. So
I was going to say, it's been a really good year for animated features. Like, really
absolutely.
Good. This is a tough, tough category.
The Golden Globe went to Toy Story 3, and of course, that's the right choice.
Yeah, I think that is the right choice. But any of those ones that I've seen that you've mentioned, I think could have easily. But Toy Story is probably the best out of them
absolutely.
All, so.
We only have 2 more categories to go. Woo. I know. The best motion picture, comedy or musical. The nominees were Red, Alice in Wonderland, Burlesque, The Tourist, and The Kids Are All Right.
So Red is the comic book based movie,
it
right?
It is, with Bruce Willis and Morgan Freeman.
I didn't realize it was a comedy, but okay.
It actually kind of was. It was an action comedy.
Yeah.
I thought.
I'm just surprised to see it on there. I thought it was a different movie named Red.
Oh.
I'm like, all right.
I know. I thought it was a very well put together movie myself, but
I heard Burlesque was terrible, so I don't know why that's on there. I heard The Tourist is terrible. I don't know why that's
again,
on there.
Again, musicals are not entertainment.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Burlesque with Christina Aguilera and Cher, I heard was, even though it has Kristen Bell in it, I heard it's terrible. The Kids Are All Right, I don't know, so I have no idea. And Alice in Wonderland, I haven't seen Red. I haven't seen any of these movies.
I saw Red and I saw Alice in Wonderland. The Golden Globe went to The Kids Are All Right, which I'm hearing nothing but good things about, and look at all the awards it's winning. But yeah. I would have gone with Red here.
All right.
So even though the argument could be made that it shouldn't even be nominated, I enjoyed it more than any of those other movies that I saw.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like weird choices, but okay. Yeah.
And last but not least, best motion picture drama.
Dun, dun, dun.
As I belch my way through this.
That was a good pose.
Yeah, that's the best way to introduce a category ever. The nominees were Black Swan, The Social Network, Inception, The Fighter, and The King's Speech. This is a strong category.
I was just about to say that. It's a very strong. Haven't seen The Social Network, but I heard amazing, amazing things about it. I got to see it. Inception, I saw, loved it. Black Swan, I saw, I loved it. Fighter, I saw, I loved it. Did not see King's Speech. So
The Social Network was the winner here, but it's not my winner, clearly.
Yeah, I didn't know. I haven't seen it, but from what I've seen, I would have, I don't know, it's tough, but I think I have to put Inception.
Yeah, I didn't see The King's Speech. The Fighter was my number 10. Black Swan was my number 8. The Social Network was not even on my list, but it was an honorable mention. Mm-hmm. And Inception was my number 1 of the whole year. So
yeah, I just think you can't, it was just such a different, unique movie that I can't, I don't know, I'm sorry. I can't see The Social Network bringing anything, you know, better than what Inception brought. And I mean, even Black Swan was a phenomenal movie, but not as good as, you know, and same with The Fighter, but not as good as Inception.
Yeah, Inception should have dominated. And the fact that Inception is in, what, one category nominated?
Yeah, I was just going to say, no other, nothing? Like, really?
No Tom Hardy for supporting actor, no Leonardo DiCaprio for actor.
No, what's her face? What's the girl that played Kitty Pryde's name?
Ellen Page.
Yeah, no.
Wait, I'm going to look. Where's this best actor in a motion picture garbage drama? Okay. Colin Firth. Let's see who's better than Leonardo DiCaprio in Inception here. Colin Firth, I didn't see. Jesse Eisenberg was great, but he wasn't better than Leo DiCaprio. Franco, I didn't see. Gosling, I didn't see. Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg getting nominated for The Fighter and Leonardo DiCaprio not getting nominated.
Yeah, that's sort of really bizarre.
Yeah, let's look at the supporting actor bowl.
I'm afraid to.
best supporting, it's here somewhere. Here we go. Best supporting actor in a motion picture. Christian Bale. Okay, Bale would have won no matter what. Michael Douglas, again. Michael Douglas. You have Tom Hardy in Inception, and you have Michael Douglas in Wall Street, the crap
Money
sequel.
Money never sleeps.
Yeah. No. Just no.
Oh, geez.
Tom Hardy was awesome.
I just can't believe Michael Douglas. That's like my, out of all these nominations, what the hell did that, where the hell did that come from? And I know what I said, and I think that might be it.
And why is this Animal Kingdom thing getting nominated and Ellen Page isn't on there either?
I have no idea. This is like, they don't do, I guess they, I was going to say they don't do Best Director, so.
Here's a suggestion for the Golden Globes 2012. Take all of your Golden Globes and just hand them to Christopher Nolan and let him distribute them when he gets back to work. That's my thought.
Well, you know, no matter how good The Dark Knight Rises, nothing will be nominated from that because it's a comic book.
I hate them all.
Yeah, because, oh, it's not, it has to be an independent, wishy-washy, weird independent film flick to win the, any, come on, let's be honest, that's what it has to
Mark my words, not Batman will win. Anne Hathaway, take your shirt off in The Dark Knight Rises, and you will earn Golden Globes for that movie. Yes, I want Batman on the board, damn it. It's only fair.
Oh my god, it's only fair.
Alright. I think it's time to get out of this before things get really bad. Do you have a final thought or anything you'd like to plug, Brian?
Sure. In the coming, I know I promised, but it's been delayed a little bit, but I still have a comic podcast coming in the near future. I'll have more details coming at some point, but nothing to announce this second. I'm working on co-hosts and putting it together. So
fantastic. I'm looking forward to it.
But other than that, no, I do not have anything else to say except I want this winter weather to stop.
Yeah. So while I'm talking to the Golden Globes, I'm talking to you up there, big man. Weather, not liking this. Or big woman, exactly. Whatever I'm talking. I don't know. Which deity am I talking to right now?
This is the best podcast ever. I've never had so much fun recording a podcast.
Oh, brother. Audience, again, as always, if you like the show, please tell your friends. If you want to check out some of these news stories, I'm just losing my train of thought right now. If you want to check out some of the news stories that we talked about or any of the other stuff we got on the site there, go to www.thegeekgeneration.com and look for all that stuff. There is a button there to subscribe to the show in iTunes. While you're there, please rate the show and write a review. We appreciate that. There's a donation button on the site as well if you'd like to give me free monies. Or if you'd like to forego that for the last week, my 30th birthday is Friday. Buy me a birthday present because I deserve it, damn it.
He does.
And if you have any questions, comments, insults, topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, send those to guests@thegeekgeneration.com. I don't know why I'm talking so loud.
I was wondering that myself, but I was just going to go with it. Read it loudly.
Oh, we're going to get out of here. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. Captain Reliable, once again, it has been an adventurous adventure.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we got to get out of here before we get in trouble.
Bye, everyone.
We'll see you guys later.